So, Advent. So we're right in the season of Advent as we prepare our hearts, as we wait in anticipation of the arrival of Jesus. And so I wanted to start out this morning's message by visiting the First Testament, the Old Testament, and this wonderful promise of a Prince of Peace who would come. It's a messianic promise. It's a promise that the Messiah, the Saviour, would come to establish his rule and reign on the earth, and it would be typified, it would be a reign of peace. And so we have this verse from Isaiah around peace, which says this: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end." What a wonderful promise, isn't it? This is what we anticipate. He has been and he is coming again. So we wait in this Advent time, just as we do now, between these two things, anticipating that one day he will rule and reign in peace across the entire earth, not just in our own lives. So whenever you see a stool, you think, what do you think? You think maybe about storytelling. So I've got a little bit of a story as a preamble today to lead into some ways of speaking to this wonderful verse. I hope you'll bear with me. As I do so, I almost feel the need to sit down. It's been quite the time. People keep asking me, "Guy, how's retirement going?" Now, I've got a gold card now, and I have to keep correcting them. I'm semi-retired, just so you know, I still do work for the church. So I finished up at Waiuku College, but I continue to work for the church. And to be honest, and maybe just the season, but I feel like I've never been busier. So I'm going to sit down this morning, if you don't mind. As I do, I'm reminded of Dave Allen, actually. Dave Allen. That's right. And, you know, Dave Allen, I've got the clicker. He usually had a cigarette in his hand. And I'm not quite sure what he used to drink, but I can assure you this is water, okay? He was a great storyteller. His language could get a bit colourful. I won't do that to you. So this story really starts a couple of weeks ago. And it's a story about needing to walk in peace. On my part, that is. So for Advent this year, Kate and I decided that with the theme for the parade coming up as Have a Very Metal Christmas, that we would create these metal candles. Oh, we, yes. The royal we. So that we could incorporate both the parade needs and our own needs as a church, because we wanted to honour that theme, but we also, actually more importantly, want to honour Jesus as the reason for the season. So we thought it sounded like a great idea that we would get, the old expression, two birds with one stone. And what could possibly go wrong, folks? That is my question, which I'm about to answer. Have you ever seen the Two Ronnies skit about fork handles? Yeah, so it's the English propensity for dropping their H's. And so that's where the confusion starts. The scene is in an old-fashioned hardware shop, and Ronnie Corbett is the shopkeeper, and Ronnie Barker comes in, and he wants fork handles. And so Ronnie Corbett puts fork handles on the bench, on the counter, and he looks and he goes, "What are those? I want fork handles." And so it goes. So this is where the breakdown in the relationship between communication and outcomes stems from, doesn't it? We say something, we maybe draw a diagram of what we want and give it to someone else, and then we have a different outcome. So a week ago Friday, dear Alistair, who kindly put his hand up when the original metal cutting company's both machines broke down. So that was a little bit of the beginning of the unravelling of things. So I had to go to a different plan, and Al very kindly sourced the baby corrugated iron, which I understand is actually quite difficult to get now, and had these laser cut. So he turned up on Friday with them strapped to the back of the ute and said, oh, I got them, they're looking fantastic. I went round to the back of the ute and suddenly all the hope, peace, love and joy drained out of my physical body. And I looked at them and I thought, how do we broach this conversation? Where do we go with this? Al, I'm sorry to say, but what I badly conveyed, obviously, was that I wanted eight sheets of corrugated iron with one word cut out of each of those sheets, of those four sheets, and four blanks to go around the back of the candle. So what I got was eight sheets with all four words on every sheet. I got four candles. So there was like an awkward moment there where you're like, how do I just do this in a way that doesn't completely, you know. So we had the conversation, and in the midst of that conversation, and Alistair is a very spirit-filled, God-believing soul. And so he was starting to think of ideas. I was still much too much into fright and flight. I my head was just going. I couldn't see the solution. Nonetheless, he assured me, if worse came to worse, that at least there was probably going to be a sermon message in it. Wasn't there, Guy? So here it is. Thanks to Al, we have this message. Well, thanks to me not conveying what I needed properly to him. So I slept on it that night, and in the morning I think Holy Spirit had given me some reassurance about the fact that actually, you know what? I think this might be a better outcome than the one you planned before. Isn't that amazing? And so it was that I started, fix this up, it's getting a bit noisy. There we go. Okay. I'll sit forward a bit. So we have four candles. We have four candles. And the difference between the two outcomes, which I've explained. I then thought, well, there's nothing for it, but I'm going to have to just launch into this and get it done. So I launched into it. There were sparks flying. There was plenty of sawdust accumulating around my feet. And I just got into it. I just got on with the job. I had a new vision, a new way, a new approach. So I'm in my garage, and so we've got a large garage. Some of it you could almost get a car into. It's not fit for purpose. So I threw up the door. It's a double tilting door, you know, a single door tilts up. And I'm working away, and then I become aware of something fluttering in over my head. This is not working, sorry. And it turned out that there were some thrushes who were coming in and out of the garage constantly. It's this side. Let's move. Okay. Four candles. Thank you. Yeah, look. So these thrushes are coming and going, and I'm wondering what's going on here. But I'm too busy to really take too much notice. And so I just carried on. So we're getting into, well and truly into the creation of these things. So that, as it turned out, these thrushes have been coming and going from the automated box that's suspended from the underside of the roof. They've decided to create their new abode on top of it, of all places. But as I say, I was too busy to really take care of it. I kind of tried to shoo them away, but they're so persistent. Every time I put that door up for ventilation and light, they would return, and they were building and building, and I'm like, well, I'm too busy to get on with this. Until one day, I'd been out, and I came back midweek last week, and I came back, or this week, I came back, and I pressed the door open on the garage opener, and up it went, got halfway, and then it just made a noise, and then it came down and went bang, shut again. And I'm like, what has happened? What has happened? And, you know, look, I decided I was going to do this, and I'm just going to do it anyway. I know you're going to have a fit, Kate. But, so next thing you know, I'm up on a ladder looking around at the automated garage opener, and what had happened was all the detritus that the birds had put up there had got caught up in the chain and the cogs and derailed the whole thing. So that's what brought it down. So the mystery was solved, but now I was faced with having to clean out all this stuff, try and get the tension off the chain, get it into the... Like, I've got things to do, birds. Like, four candles to make. So anyway, so I'm making this as good as I can. Get down from the ladder and go and hit the button, and it goes up about a quarter of the way. I'm like, oh, this won't do. I mean, I need light, I need ventilation. I'm too busy, I'll just have to get on with it. So I just have to live with the situation as it is. So on I went, sparks flying and sawdust accumulating. Then after a little while, and this is where another thing unfolds, corrugated iron and jandals do not mix. No, they do not mix. A health and safety indeed. So I got a little too close to the edge of the corrugated iron and I sliced my toe open. Yeah, not stitch worthy, but certainly bleeding. I am Australian after all. So, the first aid kit is in our kitchen. I'm in the garage. I need to get across the carpeted lounge to the kitchen. So, what does one do? I'm sure we've all done this. I assume the heel toe walk. You know the one. You sort of got the, and you're sort of going like this, trying not to bleed all over the carpet. I got there, patched myself up, and then I thought, am I starting to lose my peace here? Am I about to have a Basil Fawlty moment where I get a branch and start thrashing my Morris 11 car that won't start? No, I'm not going there. Lord, I want your peace. At that moment, I thought, I'll start writing this message. That's a good circuit breaker. So around about 4 o'clock that afternoon, I sat down and started to get a few ideas down on paper. About 4:30, I don't remember, you know, if you remember, but there was this incredible heat-generated, swirling, squall, thundery thing that started to build, and then it broke. And I thought, gosh, you know what? That really feels, you know, a little bit like that Ezekiel moment on the mountain, you know, where that still quiet voice in the midst of the storm moment. I thought, yeah, look, things have come my way, but haven't I done well? I haven't lost my peace. The contracted person who couldn't do the job couldn't do it. Had the breakdown in machinery. Al, bless him, I didn't give him the right brief. Turned up with what he turned up with. The bird started nesting, derailed the garage door opener. I've sliced my toe open. What else could go wrong? Well, not a lot else went wrong, so you'll be pleased to hear that. But it has served as a wonderful metaphor for the life that we lead and the peace that accompanies us if we trust Jesus not to lose our peace. Jesus, after all, is the Prince of Peace. He is the Messiah, and he came to bring a shalom peace. Now, shalom is an interesting word. It's a Hebrew word, and it is much more comprehensive than the word peace. Peace is pretty much the absence of war. Shalom is about wholeness. It's about well-being. It's about a world that is now back in right place with God, us in God's presence and the world as it should be. And that's the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about when he says in this, in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not be, let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." See, there's a particularity about Jesus' peace. It's not the peace that the world gives us. It's not the peace that if I'd allowed my circumstances to dictate to me, I could have lost. Jesus was giving me a peace. Look, albeit they're not large trials, granted, because I know that life throws a lot larger things at us. But it is possible to maintain our peace in the midst of life's storms. This was before Jesus was about to be crucified. He's comforting his disciples, and he's seeking to reassure him that he is with them no matter what. And then after he's crucified, he appears to his disciples again, and he says this. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." See, Jesus is sending us out with his peace now. He came to show us what the peace of the Father looked like, and now he says, "Hey, I'm sending you out with that same peace abiding in you." Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says this, "And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." So, the question I have for us all is, have we got the right footwear on? Because if you're wearing a pair of sandals, they might be good for the beach. But out in the world there, you might find that the sharp edges of this world will cause you injury if you go in not fitted with the right shoes of peace. Conversely, and that wasn't an unintended pun, if we go out there in steel cap boots, they may be useful in some contexts, but they may actually wind up giving the wrong messaging. It was Jackie Pullinger who spent years working in the walled city of Hong Kong, a really dangerous place at the time, amongst the prostitutes and the heroin addicts. It's an amazing book if you ever read it. It's called Chasing the Dragon. It was she that said, "You need hard feet and a soft heart." That's what we need. We need hard feet to go into those places where Jesus' peace is most needed, in the situations and the people who need to know the peace of Christ in their lives. As a footnote, yes. So I just cleared out the nest, got the garage running just fine, and dear Kevin Vince turned up with my 9 bales of hay for the church float. And the thrushes thought their Christmases had all come at once. So they set to work again, didn't they? And this is what they built, Mr. and Mrs. Thrush. Thank you very much. I'm currently just operating the garage door manually and wondering what to do. They are so determined. It's incredible. But it made me wonder too about our own determination. You know, the habits and the ways of being that we have, that quite honestly, the world will supply a lifetime of building material for us to lose our peace over. And so much of it comes through the media. I mean, who here is guilty of what they call doom scrolling? Yeah, doom scrolling. And it doesn't bring that peace that Jesus has promised us. So when we get online, there is plenty of building material for us to set up home in a place where we're not going to get any peace. I mean, every time that, there's real danger there. I mean, I don't know, there are going to be chicks there maybe if I don't tend to it. And then, you know, anyway, we won't go. Oh, no, sorry. Did I say that? We'll move right on. We'll move right on. So this morning, if you're struggling to have personal peace, I want you to think about where you might have set up home and what kind of materials you're building with. If it's hay and stubble, we know that stuff's just going to get burnt up. We need to build on, Jesus talked about this, didn't he? It's building on the rock. You know, when the storms come and the difficulties arise, then we need to build on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Peace is found in a person. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I love that. Let your gentleness be evident to all. It may not look like steel cap boots. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Oh, Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? And so it was as I neared the end of the project and the candles, four candles, were loaded onto the trailer. I looked down on the garage floor from which I'd been cutting out my plywood components, and I suddenly realized that the piece left over was actually a perfect cross. Well, honestly, seriously, I mean, yeah, it just to me was a sign, you know, even in the midst of my minor trials, Jesus was present, giving me peace. Because apparently from reports of my last year's efforts in putting the float together, there were some people around me who felt I wasn't quite peaceful, so I wanted to do better this year. And thanks to all who have helped this year too. So as we come to share in the Lord's table this morning, I want us perhaps to just reflect on some of these little life lessons that I myself have had, and that hopefully you'll be able to take something away from. So if we could just bring the table into the center here, we're going to come forward this morning, as is our custom sometimes, and starting with this side, we're going to come and take the elements back to our seat, hold them as we go, and then we're going to all share in communion together. As I look at that cross, I'm reminded of Isaiah 53:5. And that's what we come to now. We remember what Jesus has done on behalf of us on the cross. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. I haven't got this up there, actually. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So let's please come forward now and just think upon what he has done on our behalf. Why don't we stand as I just pray, and then we'll share together. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we are able to come to you with our prayers and requests, and that you grant us a peace that transcends even our own understanding at times. Lord, it's as Kate said earlier on, that you are all-knowing. You're all present, you're all powerful. And you've shown us the depth of your love through sending your son, Jesus Christ, who suffered on our behalf on the cross so that we might be reunited with you in relationship and shalom. So this morning, Lord, we acknowledge you, we remember you, and we thank you, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. Let's eat and drink together. Now, before we sit down again, and this is an invitation, but I wondered whether we could exchange a blessing of peace with one another this morning. So this is how it works, in case you can. One person says to the other, "May the peace of the Lord be with you." And then the other person replies, "And also with you." And then you swap round. So if you'd like to do that with the person standing beside you, I'm sure they'll be blessed if you do it.